Alright, cool. I'm gonna introduce our speaker real quick. Man, like, this guy has been a blessing. And he's gonna do our first one. Our first one is about abiding in the vine. Alright? And this guy, man, he's been such a blessing in my life. And for real, if I didn't know him or his family, I would never be saved. I would never come to know Jesus. Because, man, I was living a life of sin. And I was working in McDonald's one time. And, you know, this my brother of mine, his mom came into McDonald's. And he's like, hey, Jem, what are you doing after high school? And I'm like, I don't know. And like, she's like, hey, you should go to Bible college. I'm like, Bible college? That's not for me. You know, like, no, I totally was closed off to it. And then, you know, my friend, like, I knew him. He was a Christian in high school, man. He loved the Lord. He loves the Lord, actually, man. Like, fire on for the Lord. What I'm basically saying is, like, this guy has seen me and my growth with Jesus. I'm not trying to promote my pride. No, that's not what I'm trying to do. That's not, okay, I totally worded that wrong. But, like, what I'm trying to say is this guy, like, he's seen me at my worst, and he's seen me at my highs, and he has been there for me. He has been my brother. He has been one of my best friends. And, man, like, he is such a blessing in my life. He is my ministry partner. He's my Barnabas. Like, man. Like, he's my Barnabas, and I'm so excited to introduce this guy. Come on up, Cole Smith! All right, here, Cole. Take it away, man. Take it away. Feature.
Wow, thanks, Jem. Yeah. Awesome. Love that guy, man. No, it's actually awesome just to have him in my life. Me and Jem, just to do life together, ministry together, I'm super thankful for that. But guys, just wanted to re-say it. It's been said already, but welcome to Abide. It is great to have you all here, and I'm just stoked to be here with you. Wow, I can't believe we're actually doing a conference. Let me just say that, because, like, I mean, I'm in charge of kind of, like, introducing tonight and introducing this concept of Abide and like how Abide got started and what the whole background is for it. Before I start, let me just like, I'm going to get you guys to stand up if you've been to an Abide before. Can I get the lights back on? Stand up. Yeah, stand up. Lazy. Come on, yeah, stand right up. if you've been to an Abide before, okay. Okay. Yeah, there you go. Okay. Okay, sit down if you've only been to one. Okay, yeah, okay, one, okay. So keep standing if you've been to four. Four. We did six last year. So if you've done four, stand, okay. What about, have you been to all six? Who's been to all six here? I haven't even been to all six, so I'm sitting down like, sorry, I'm a leader, but I haven't even been to all six. You guys over there, okay. You guys are the Abide diehards. Abide or dies right there. Look at you guys. Marco even did, okay, abide or die. That's what we call that. Serious, yeah. Okay. Thank you guys for your support. We started Abide a year ago on January 14th. My name's Cole, if that wasn't clear already. Jem introduced me. Yeah, my name's Cole. I'm 21 years old. This is my home church, Riverside Calvary Chapel. Yeah, I grew up here in Langley. I was born at a young age, and so yeah, I've like lived here all my life. I went to RE Mountain Secondary, who's my Mountaineers set. Do we call us Mountaineers or Mounties? What are we called? Oh, Eagles, okay, that's our mascot, sure, okay, yeah, Eagles! Whatever. Okay, so, yeah, that's my high school. After I graduated high school, I went to Calvary Chapel Bible College with Jem. We went together, and I studied there for 2 years. Learned a lot about Jesus and the Bible. You know what I really learned? I learned what I didn't know. That's, like, how much I learned how stupid I was and how, like, lacking knowledge I was, I guess. That makes sense. It makes sense to me, so forget you. But, so I graduated there and then moved back here. And okay, when I was in Bible college, that's where I met this awesome team that's up here. Can we give a round of applause for the worship and everybody that is part of the California team that's helping us put this conference on? Because honestly, they've done so much to planning, to the admin work, to the graphics. Like, I've just kind of sat back and been like, thanks, guys. Like, what am I supposed to do? Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to prepare a sermon. Freaking dang, okay. So, So it's been great. It's awesome having them. That's where I got to know them at Bible College there. So yeah, I'm super stoked that they're here. They're in my hood, so I'm like, gotta represent, right? Like, dang, make impressions. Okay, but so after Bible College, kind of moved back here, and I graduated a semester before Jem, not because I'm smarter. Jump to your own conclusions. But no, because Jem did a semester in the Philippines, you know, where he met a lot of Filipinos. Shout out, yeah. Yeah, right? Okay. It's a throwback. Okay, but so his semester ended a little later, so I came back here, and I was adjusting to life back home here by myself. I didn't have my buddy Jem, so it was a lonely time. But when Jem finally came back, we just kind of like were catching up and seeing what God's doing and what God wants us to do with our life. You know, like we were studying the Bible for 2 years. Like, that's a long time of just committing to Jesus and stuff and like learning about what Jesus wants to do in our life. And then after Bible College, I was just kind of situated like, okay, so I've learned about all this stuff. Now, what am I going to do with it? What does God want me to do with my life that's going to glorify and honor him? And one of the big things that I felt like I wanted to do is just kind of, preach the gospel, like create something available for people to come out to hear the gospel, either for the first time, for the second time, for the 100th time, because hands up if you need the gospel, if you know you need the gospel. I believe every person needs the gospel. You can't need the gospel enough, if that makes sense. You know? If you don't know what the gospel is, that's what I'm getting into tonight. So just sit tight. But so I was kind of like sharing my heart out to Jem, just saying like, hey, I wanna do something outreach based. You know, I don't know what it's gonna look like, but that's what I wanna do. And like praise the Lord, Jem was like, dude, same. Like, I have the exact same vision in my mind. Like, that's my impression of Jem, so whatever. It's not, whatever. And then, so we were like, what the heck? So we both want to do this thing. Let's just stop talking about it. Let's do it. And then it became a bud. So, yeah, and that was a year ago. That was in January. We, like, planned it, and we were doing it ourselves, and just kind of like, Jem was feeling led and, like, bold and he was ready to preach, you know. So he brought the word that night, and that line, the I went to the Philippines and I met a lot of Filipinos. It's my favorite quote from that night. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, but So that was Abide, and it just started with the two of us, and God did a work, and we just kind of wanted to do it that one time, and we felt like God did a work, and he provided, and he showed up, and we're like, this is cool, you know, like, this is encouraging, this is a cool platform to preach the gospel and to tell people that God loves them, that Jesus loves them, and that's what we wanted to do with Abide. And I thank God that he's brought us a team, you know, we now have a team that we are able to plan future Abides and keep on doing this. So, and I thank you guys that you keep coming out, because like if you guys didn't come out, I don't know if we'd keep doing it, you know, like what's the point? But like for God, it's all for God. But yeah, so that's kind of how it got started, and my role has just kind of been just like a guy overseeing it and making sure everything's getting planned out and everything. I haven't brought the word at Abide yet, so pressure's on. That's what I'm doing tonight. So I'm super excited for this conference. Who's excited for this conference? Hands up if you're coming tomorrow. I'll be here tomorrow. If I wake up, I will. And then, yeah, if you're not planning on coming tomorrow, come, okay? Even if you have plans, even if you're trying to be productive, come on. Don't lie to yourself. You know, this is actually a good excuse to procrastinate, you know? Conference is going to be sick. We got some sick workshops. They're on the back of your name tags, you know, and that's for you. So come out. Don't miss out. Okay. I don't think I'm going to talk any more about that. I want to get in the Word. So if you guys have Bibles, open up to John chapter 15. If you don't have Bibles, good news. We got them for you. So you can borrow. Can we get the lights on again? We'll leave the lights on because we need the lights to read. You know? You can't read in the dark. Okay, thanks. Who's trying to read in the dark? It doesn't work. Okay. With a phone, but then that's light. Okay. Yeah, so if, hands up if you need a Bible. If you didn't bring one, it's okay. We got you. Keep your hands up. Don't be shy. It's okay. We all want to get in the Word tonight. We want to be encouraged. So let's do this. John chapter 15. That's where we're at. That's where we're going to be. And I'm so excited. So when we picked the name Abide, I'm going to be honest. This is where I'm going to start. We didn't really think about it too much. We didn't really pray about it. I mean, we prayed about it a little, but we didn't really look into it. We're just like, so what are we going to call this thing? What are we going to call this little event thing? Like, hey, let's call it Abide. That's a fun word. It's a cool name. You know, it sounds hip. It'll bring the people out. So that's what we did. We called it Abide, and it kind of stuck. And, you know, until now, when I finally looked into it to prepare this message I'm about to share, really kind of figured out what it means. I knew what it meant. I wasn't stupid. I wasn't foolish. Not that much. But, yeah, so we picked Abide, and that's what it's been called. But tonight I wanted to look into what that actually means and what that means to us and the impact that it should have in our lives. So John chapter 15, and if you're taking notes, I titled this Abide to Thrive. You can judge me if you want, whatever. Abide to Thrive. Okay, so let's read John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now, Lord. God, I pray for tonight. I pray for this conference. I pray for this event, Lord. God, it's all for you, and I pray that you would get the glory from it. God, I pray that in our study tonight, we would just be blessed and impacted at this word, God. This word abide, and what I pray that you would just show us personally what it means to abide in you. Jesus, what did you mean by that? Tell us tonight, God. I pray that you would just be here with us and that you would speak to our hearts and just make an impact, God. So we lift this up to you. In your name we pray, amen. I once read a story about a guy named Neil Shidels. I think that's how you say his last name. His name was Neil, okay? Neil he was from Virginia, and he didn't have a home. Neil was homeless, and he was lonely. Throughout the year, he didn't have much. He didn't have family. He didn't have siblings. He didn't have, I think he had friends, not too many because he was lonely. But this was Neil, right? And the story goes that a local news station noticed Neil's need. They noticed that he was lonely. They noticed that he didn't have any family, any place to stay. And the news station, they put an ad out, okay? They put an ad out saying, like, hey, if anyone is willing, if anyone is like a saint and wants to prove it, invite Neil into their home or host him for Thanksgiving, Christmas dinner. Because, like, you know, if you don't have anyone, the whole year is going to be lonely, but there's 2 days in particular that are going to be super lonely, and that's Thanksgiving and that's Christmas. Why? Because we often spend those times with family, right? People fly across countries just to be there with their family for those days, right? Because that's important. That's an important time. And family's important, right? To be welcome, to have that love, you know, that unity, that fellowship with your family. That's important. But Neil didn't have that until a couple by the name of Lamore responded to the ad and called Neil up personally saying, hey, Neil, we heard about you. We heard about your need. We heard that you're lonely, and we want to invite you for Thanksgiving at our house this year. And they went down. They picked him up. They brought him back home. Neil was crying. He didn't know how to control himself. He was so overwhelmed. He was so overjoyed that somebody would actually take the time and invite him into their home. So they invited him into their home to have this, what I can imagine was just an amazing Thanksgiving dinner. They got to know Neil, and Neil got to know the Lemoores, and it was a happy time. And it's a good little story, you know, it makes my heart warm. But when Neil was asked about the experience, his response was, "I cannot explain how much it means to be welcomed into their home. I truly felt like I was a part of their family." The reason I brought that up, because I think it has a close relation with this concept of what it means to abide. Jesus tells us to abide in him in this passage that we just read. Abide in him. And that term means so much more than we can understand at first glance. You got to dig deeper. You got to look further as to what that entails and what that means to us. Abide can mean different things. You might have in your Bibles, depending on the translation, it might say, remain in me, remain, abide in me as I abide in you. It could say, remain in me as I remain in you. Abide can mean to stay, to be in, to dwell, you know, to remain. It can mean a couple of different things, but that's like the gist of it. Abide means that you are a part of something. That's what that term means. But in this passage, in John 15, we're introduced. This is Jesus speaking, by the way. This is Jesus speaking. This is like one of the few things that he said before he got arrested and tried and led to the cross to die. Yeah. It's heavy, right? So this is one of the few things he said to his disciples, that he was the true vine and his Father is a vine dresser. So we're introduced to this vineyard, right? This illustration of a vineyard where God the Father, he's the vine dresser, which means like he's the father, he's the farmer, he's the guy who takes care of the crop. He oversees all of the vineyard, and that's what God does, right? He is all powerful, and he's overseeing all of his creation. He's over that. And then we see that Jesus is the true vine. He's a true vine because he's that vine that God himself planted, because he's God the Son. He was sent to this earth to live. And he's that true vine because he's independent. He's not dependent on any one of us, on anything. He is strong because Jesus is righteous. I'm going to look at five ways to describe abiding in Jesus tonight, if you wanted to follow. Make it easy for notes. Five ways to describe abiding in Jesus. The first one is, abiding in Jesus is based on his righteousness. And our ability to abide in Jesus is not dependent on our own righteousness, but Jesus' righteousness. Jesus is perfectly good, which means that he is without sin. He is without sin, but that isn't the same with us, right? Who is without sin? Put your hand up. No one. Because you know it. You know that you are a sinner. You've made a mistake. You've done a wrong. We are all guilty of that. I'm sorry, I'm starting out pretty rough here, but that's the fact, right? Abiding in Jesus is based on his righteousness and not our own. We don't get to abide in Jesus because we have earned it ourselves, because we are righteous. We get to abide in Jesus because he is righteous and he has invited us in. See, I look at this concept of abiding as an invitation. It's an invitation for us that Jesus himself invites us in to be a part of this fellowship with him, this abiding in him. What an amazing thing that is. What an amazing privilege that is. We have all sinned. It says that in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But what does that mean, huh? What does that mean? We have fallen short of the glory of God. Well, this is what I'm going to say. Because we were created, God created us to have fellowship with him, but something got in the way of that, you know? We disobeyed God, and in doing so, that's a sin. We have sinned, and we've cut ourselves off from that fellowship with God. See, we've ruined the very purpose as to why we've been created. So what's going to happen here, you know? Since we are called sinners, we have broken God's law, we have destroyed that access to fellowship with him. But that is why Jesus came. That is why he came to live a perfect, righteous life. He came to restore that fellowship that we can have with God. And that's what he did. So abiding in Jesus is based on his righteousness. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "For he," talking about God, "made him," talking about Jesus, "who knew no sin," because he never sinned, "to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." See, this is This is the big concept of righteousness, right? Abiding in Jesus is based on his righteousness. And we are able to abide in him and be made righteous by him. And that's what happens when you abide in him. You get his righteousness passed on to you. And that's what God looks at. God looks at you not as the sinner that we all once were, but he looks at you as he's righteous. He is in Christ. Because you are abiding in Christ. And this is that step that's so important. We all need to abide, right? Jesus took our sins, the sins of unrighteous people, and put them to death so that we can be made righteous in him. That's the concept of this gospel. And then when we do that, when we actually take that step to abide in him, then something happens. An identity change happens. We change our identity. We go from sinner to righteous. We go from imperfect to perfect in Christ. And I'm not saying that if you're a Christian, you are to live a perfect life and there's that standard. No, but we are being made perfect by Christ day by day, step by step as we walk and live our life in him. And that's why it's so important to abide in him. And that's just the first point that I'm going to make here. And that comes from him being the true vine. He's the true vine because he's righteous. And it says in verse 3, if you wanted to look with me, it says, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." Sorry, I skipped verse 2. Let me go back. "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." So we see something here happen. He says that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he, talking about God, takes it away. If you're not bearing fruit, God will take you away. What does that mean? He also says that those who bear fruit, he prunes. Who knows what prunes mean? Prune. Who knows what a prune is? Start there. So, what does it mean to prune? To cut. Yeah, cut, snip. I heard snip. I like that. Yeah, snip away. Okay, sure. Pruning, in this case, means to cleanse, you know? And this is that picture that we get from God being the vine dresser, right? If he sees a vine that is bearing fruit, he's going to cleanse that branch, that vine, so that it can bear more fruit. He's going to get rid of all the disease. He's going to take away any infirmities or whatever, and he's going to make it right so that it can continue to bear fruit. Because that's what God desires, right? He desires us to bear that fruit. But then it says in verse 3, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." And this is the second point. This is my second point. The first one was abiding is based on his righteousness. And the second point here is abiding in Jesus proves our redemption. So what does that mean? The word redemption. The word redeem means to buy back. In this case, we're talking about how God bought us back from the power and the curse of sin. So we were all under bondage to sin because we're sinners. But God desired to buy us back. He said, "Oh, hey, that's my child. I'm going to pay the price so that he can be mine again, or they can be mine again." And that's what he did by sending his son to pay the price for us. If you are redeemed, that means you are sealed in Christ. And that is something that cannot be broken. That is something that cannot be taken away from you. That's this work of redemption that we see happening in the gospel. We don't have to work to earn redemption because it's a work that Jesus already completed for us. So don't do a work that's already been done, right? If you're thinking now, if you're in a place where you think, "I got to work to earn salvation, I got to do something to be right with God, to be a good person or whatever," that's all good. And we want to be good people. But that's not how we get saved. Because God already did that work for us. You know, I thought of it this way, you know, like if my mom is sweeping the kitchen, you know, and I come upstairs, I go into the kitchen, and I realize, like, "Oh, hey, my mom swept the kitchen." You know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to sweep that kitchen. You know why? Because my mom's perfect, and she does everything perfect, including sweeping the kitchen. So I don't need to re-sweep it, because she's already done such a great job. You're welcome, Mom. Where are you at? Okay, you heard that? Okay, cool. And then, so you don't need to work to earn salvation. You don't need to work to be redeemed. You already are redeemed. It's a gift, and it's a gift that we just need to receive, and we can receive that by abiding in Christ. See, when you abide, you're proving that you are redeemed. You're proving in life. It's a way of life, and you're proving that. So you need to receive that gift. How? By being in Jesus, by living out the example of Jesus. In everything you do, may it be pointing toward the saving life of Jesus. And God desires that you receive that gift and be intimate with Christ. And it says in verse 4, abide in me. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. So again, this is that invitation, right? This is that invitation that Jesus here is giving to his disciples, to the people that believe in him, that actually trust in him. He's giving this invitation for them to abide in him, to be in him. And what's the purpose of that? That's my third point, is abiding in Jesus involves a relationship. And this is so big. This is so huge. God desires us to be in close relationship with him. He desires it, and it's possible. But it's only possible through Christ. Our sin made it impossible, but Christ's work of redemption made it possible once again. And you can receive that by being in him. If you want to turn with me to Romans 11, be good. Romans chapter 11, verse 22 and 23. I'm just going to read what I think is a great passage to describe this work that God did, this work that God did to bring us into relationship with him once again. We were created to be relational people. And I think all you introverted ones are all like no, not me. Sit in my room, like, no. I mean, we have the tendency to do that sometimes, but we were created to be relational people and specifically created to have relationship with our God. We were created to be in this fellowship with him. And it says in this passage, Romans chapter 11, verse 22, I'm going to read starting in verse 23. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise you will also be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. So this is like one of those terms that I really, another illustration. You know, we had like the vine dresser and the vine and all this abiding. And this kind of goes with that, I think. It uses the term grafted in. And what I love about this is it describes God doing the work for us to bring us into close relationship with him. The process of grafting, if you're not familiar, I want you to imagine like an olive tree, right? How many years do you think it takes to grow a healthy olive tree until it starts to bear fruit? Anyone? 6 years? 4 years? More? To 10. Yeah, 10 to 12 years minimum for an olive tree to start bearing fruit. Exactly. So that's a long time to wait if you're like just starting out. And if you were to like plant a whole grove of olive trees, and like it's like you're waiting a long time. But what farmers would do, what olive tree farmers would do to speed up the process and to get more fruit, to bear more fruit with their trees so they can make more of a profit, they would take a wild olive seed. Is it a seed? Yeah. Is it a branch? It could be a branch too. But I've read that you could do it with a seed too. Okay, a branch. So you take an olive branch and then you stick it onto an already healthy olive tree that is bearing fruit. Okay, you stick it on so that it's tight there and it forms a bond with that tree and it gets its roots dug into that tree, that already healthy tree, so that that branch can start bearing fruit. Not in 10 to 12 years, but in 2 to 3 years. I had to just double check real quick. 2 to 3 years. So like you speed up that process by about 7 years. So I mean, it's pretty good, right? But that's the process of grafting in. And that's like a real thing. You can look it up. Apparently it's not with a wild seed. My apologies, but a branch. But I want you to close your eyes right now and imagine like the perfect tree, you know? However that might seem to you, imagine the perfect tree. It could be massive. It could be humongo. It could be beautiful with the brightest colored leaves. Yeah, close your eyes. All of you guys that are still looking at me, close your eyes. I want you to imagine the tree, okay? This is the best tree you've ever seen, all right? This is God's tree, you know, because it's perfect and it's just so good. This is God's tree. And what God does is he's walking around and he looks on the side of the road and he sees, oh, hey, look at that ugly looking branch. And he picks it up and he puts it onto his tree so that it could be grafted in and becomes a part of his tree. And that ugly branch is you. Sorry. Don't take it personally. It is you. Because, guys, we're ugly because we're sinners. I know. I'm sorry. But you're not ugly. Just your sin is. Okay. But God wants to repair that, you know? Okay. So he grafts you in to his perfect tree. And this is this illustration. We have been placed on that tree and welcomed in to the family of God. Can I get an amen? This is something that God desires for us. He wants us to be part of his family. And because he did this work, we are able to be a part of that. That's something greater than ourselves. We've been placed in something far greater than ourselves. We don't deserve it, but God desires it because he loves us. And Jesus is that true vine, and we are to abide in that vine. We are to be intimate with him. The true purpose of Jesus dying on the cross was so he can have an intimate relationship with us. Are you acknowledging that truth? Are you acknowledging that fact that the purpose why Jesus gave his life on that cross, suffered the pain and anguish and suffering and humiliation, the reason why he went through all of that was for you, so that he can know you personally. So why is this whole thing so important? We're going to look down to verse 5. Oh, sorry, not in Romans, but back in John 15. So go back there with me. John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now, this is why abiding is so crucial. I want you to underline in your Bible, if you have the ability to, for without me, you can do nothing. Pretty heavy at first glance, right? You or I cannot do anything apart from Jesus. Now, I know you little loophole lookers, if that makes sense, are looking like, well, I can still do some things without Jesus. I'm not totally dependent on him. That's true. But he's talking about here things that you are to do that is for God. If you're trying to do something in God that isn't done in Jesus, it's nothing. It's worthless. It doesn't work. Because everything that is for God and to God has to be done in and through Jesus. That's the only way it'll work. If it's done in Jesus, it has worth. If it's done in ourselves, then it's vain. And that word vain means passing, fleeting. It will not last. It'll die. It'll die away. So we can't do anything. We see here in this verse, I think this is so cool, because John 15, verse 5 says that we can't do anything apart from Jesus, but there's another verse that I think is so cool that goes with that. Philippians 4:13 tells us that we can do anything with Jesus. It's the contrast. That it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So don't be a downer. I'm like, oh, I can't do anything without Jesus. That's kind of a bummer for me. Don't look at it like that. It's not a bummer. Because you could do anything with Jesus. You know what I'm saying? And that's the truth. Yeah. So anything meaningful that you can ever do in this life that will echo into eternity must be done in Jesus. It must be done through Jesus. That's what he's meaning here when he says, for without me, you can do nothing. because he wants the things that you do in your life, he wants them to be glorifying to God. He wants them to be meaningful. He wants them to be lasting. But in order for them to be lasting and meaningful, they have to be done in him. Jesus wants to be a part of your everything and make your everything meaningful. So let him. Shouldn't we? Shouldn't we let him? I mean, did he not give us a new life in him? Yeah? Like, he gave us redemption in him, yeah? Shouldn't we let him take hold of our life and be a part of our everything and make our everything meaningful? So let him. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, this is Jesus saying, he says, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. He comes to give you life, but not just any ordinary life, like the life you're living now. He comes to give you a life that's more abundant, that is better, that is greater, and that life is in Jesus. So live your life to the fullest in him, you know? Live it out. Be bold. But you gotta abide. You gotta abide to thrive in this life. That's my title. That's where my title comes in. Abide to thrive. Okay. So this is where that personal relationship with Jesus is so key. Because when we abide in Jesus, we are reliant on Jesus. That's what that looks like. The next big thing, once we understand why we are to abide, is what are we to do now? So we're abiding in Jesus. We've taken the first step. But what is supposed to happen next? And we're going to read that chapter, verse 6 to 8. Okay, read with me. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So that last verse I wanted to key in on right now, where it says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. What marks a person who abides is the fruit that they are to naturally bear. And my fourth point is, I'll go through them all again. Abiding is based on his righteousness. Number two, abiding in Jesus proves our redemption. Number three, abiding in Jesus involves a relationship. And number four here, abiding in Jesus gives us reason. So we saw in verse 6 there, what happens to those who don't abide, who don't bear that fruit for Jesus, who forget to abide in Jesus. We see three things here in verse 6. We see what happens when we are not bearing fruit because of a result of abiding in Jesus. We see that there is a loss of fellowship when it says, and they are cast out as a branch. Then we see a loss of vitality when it says, and they are withered. And then we see a loss of reward when it says, they are burned. Loss of fellowship, loss of vitality, loss of reward. Don't lose out on those virtues in life that Jesus can bring you. Abide in him and bear that fruit. Take those steps that you need to take. That's what we see in verse 6, but we also see a reward in verse 7 here. In verse 7 it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. So this reward is given through when we keep what Jesus says, and that is to bear fruit. A person who abides is revealed through their fruit that comes out of their life. And that reward was, you will ask whatever you desire, and it will be done for you. Jesus will grant you that desire because you deserve it. Because you've earned it, but because he wants to give it to you. And that's not anything you desire. That's anything you desire in him, because you're abiding in him. So, we are given a reason to live as people who abide in Jesus because we have a role to play in the kingdom of God, and this role is to bear fruit for God. So how do we bear fruit? It is a natural occurrence, and it isn't forced. You can't force your fruit. You can't force it. It comes naturally out of your life when you're living for Jesus and living in Jesus. And bearing fruit is not instantaneous. It's the result of process. It takes time. Don't expect fruit right away. You gotta wait. You gotta wait for that harvest. So, like, one big point that I'm trying to make here is abiding should not be an option for us. Abiding in Jesus is a necessity in our life because it's necessary. It's necessary for us to have this relationship and abide in Jesus and be in Jesus. That's how we are to live. That becomes our life. And the amount of fruit we bear is dependent on the amount of investments we partake in our life. And by investments, I'm not just talking about financial investments, what you do with your money. You know, like, you can invest in a lot of different things. You can invest your time. You can invest your resources. You can invest your money, you know. So whatever that might be, whether it's hobbies, sports, Bitcoin. What are you investing in, right? You got to think, what am I investing in life? And then follow that thought up with, is that investment for God? Is it ultimately bringing God the glory? Is it bearing fruit for the kingdom of God? What am I investing in? You see, a godly life is proven through its godly investments. So make smart investments. Pursue those divine things, those divine pursuits. Pursue that which is divine, which is godly and for God. And then in doing so, when you are making those investments, we see in verse 8 what happens. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. And you bear those fruit through those investments that you bring. So, my fifth and final point here. Read verse 9 with me. Verse 9, as the Father loved me, I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. So my fifth and final point here is abiding in Jesus brings revival. It brings revival. And I love that word revival. I just think it sounds cool. No, it's a great word. It's a word that describes, it's a term that means an improvement of a condition. You revive something, you're making that thing better. You're making those improvements, you're enhancing it, you're making it better off. But I also think in the extreme case, I like to describe it as an awakening. You know, like you're going to revive that person's heart. No, ER. That makes sense? Does that make sense? I don't know anything about medicine. Okay, but that's what it can mean. Revival can mean an awakening. And this is kind of what abiding brings. When you abide in Christ, when you abide in Jesus, that should bring a revival in your life. So does abiding in Jesus improve your life, your way of living? It should. It should. Abiding in Jesus doesn't become how you live. It becomes your life. So in verses 4 to 5, when Jesus says, abide in me, I am the vine, abide in me. For without me, you can do nothing. If you are in me, you will bear fruit. But if you don't abide in me, you'll be cast out. In those verses, we see that you get to live that life intimately with him in a relationship. And there are improvements that go with that. In verse 11 here, we see that these things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Your joy is full in him. Now, I feel like some of us describe joy as like an extreme happiness, but there's like some distinctions that I like to make there. Because, you know, we can experience happiness and we can experience sadness, but we can be experiencing joy throughout that whole occurrence. The reason why is happiness is an experience of emotion, but joy is an experience of the Spirit. Joy is instilled in you by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God that comes upon your life and takes root in your life when you abide in him. That's what happens there. You are filled with the joy of the Lord. You can be confident that your joy is in the Lord, because you are in the Lord when you abide in him. And then in verse 7, just to backtrack a bit, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. And that's that note I made there, is every need we ask of will be given. If you have Christ, you have everything you will ever need in life. You lack nothing. You have complete access to him. He desires to give you those things to help you further the kingdom of God in your life. Those things that you will need, he will provide for you. He will. It's life more abundant. I'm not saying when you live for Christ and you begin to abide in him that it's going to be easy, because it's not. We still go through hard times. We still go through rough seasons, rough patches in life. But God promises that that reward is great, because it's in him, because he is the giver of every good thing. In those last verses there, it's the big thing is talking about love. God's love for us, how God showed love for Christ in his life, and in doing so, Christ also expresses that same love for us today. You see, the invitation of abiding is given through God's act of perfect love. This perfect act of love is the reason why we are able to abide. It fills the cracks. It fills all those things. It encompasses this whole concept of abide, because abiding is an action of love. As you abide in Jesus, you are abiding in the love of God expressed through the Son, Jesus. God's love is what makes all of this work. It is the perfect fruit that gives us the ability to bear more fruit for him. So, when we were picking this name, Abide, you know, for me it was like a word that just represented being a part of Christ, you know, being in Christ, you know, making yourself known through Christ and in Christ. And now, like, just looking back, I see how much more meaning that word has, abide. That's what we seek to do here with this ministry. We seek to come here. I mean, wherever it's held. Not to come because of the pump of music and the sick worship. Not to come because of the bomb speakers or whatever, or just to come for the fellowship. We come to seek our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the one and only reason above all other reasons. That's the reason why we do this, to abide in him. I'm going to call the worship team back up as we close. So the last thing I wanted to say, we already looked at abiding is based on Jesus' righteousness, and abiding in Jesus proves our redemption. It involves a relationship. It gives us reason in life, and it brings revival. But I wanted to ask you guys, is there something that is holding you back from truly abiding in him? Because if you're investing in a certain area in life that isn't glorifying to God, that is an area of sin, that is something that is distracting you from being intimate in him, from knowing him truly, from having this personalized relationship with God. Because you can lay that at his feet right here tonight. That's what we want to do. We want to give you that opportunity. So as we close tonight in worship, I wanted to give you that opportunity. The front is open here. We're going to dim the lights. We're going to just seek our Savior together. We're going to worship his name for who he is, and we're going to take whatever step is necessary to abide in him. Can everybody just stand up with me real quick? Just stand up. Let's just bow our heads and pray. Dear God, we thank you for this message, God, and we thank you for that invitation to abide in you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your love for us that you show us, God, and just that action of what it means to abide, God. God, we're so undeserving of your love and affection for us because of our sin. But God, that's a gift that you freely give us. You choose to love us despite our errors and our mistakes and our sin that we've done against you, God. God, we thank you for your grace. And God, I pray that wherever we're at in life, I pray that we would just know that you love us, God. And this love is a perfect love. It's a holy love because it's your love. And it's the love that you show for each and every one of us despite our wrongs. God, help us to know that no one is too far gone. No one is too far away from your reach. And God, if we choose it, we can come right back to you right now. Right here and right now. We can be brought back into that intimate relationship with you. That means abiding. So that's what we're going to do tonight, Lord. If there's anyone here who wants to lay something down, something that you might have been holding on to, a burden, a struggle, a weakness, a sin, a problem, whatever it may be, whether it's addiction, whatever issues you might have that is preventing you from this intimate relationship with Christ, I want you to come forward here. Come forward to the stage, come to the front, and just kneel before the throne of God. Just kneel before God and confess that to Him. Take that step. God is here, and He's with us, and He's ready to receive you. We know that He is ready to meet us where we're at. As you draw near to Him, He will also draw near to you. So take whatever step is necessary. As we close in these songs of worship, just get with God, abide in Him. We're going to have some people available in the back, some of our Abide team, some of the cross-culture team. They're going to be available to pray with you if you need prayer for anything, whatever struggle. Don't leave this place here tonight with a problem that you walked in with. God wants you to confess that to Him. God wants you to deal with that so that you can be intimate and take those steps of abiding in Him once again. So let's do that now.